Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Why Should White Guys Have All the Wealth? How You Can Become a Millionaire Starting from the Bottom by Cedric Nash is a personal finance and wealth-building book aimed at readers who want to move beyond basic money management into long-term asset creation. Nash writes from the perspective of an entrepreneur, investor, and founder of the Black Wealth Summit, with a particular concern for African-American readers and others who have faced structural barriers to wealth accumulation. The book belongs to the practical finance genre, but its emphasis is not limited to budgeting, saving, or debt control. Its central purpose is to explain how people starting with limited resources can develop wealth literacy, adopt values that support accumulation, and make strategic financial decisions that build sustainable income and generational wealth. The book combines mindset, social context, and practical money behavior, positioning wealth creation as both an individual discipline and a response to unequal access to opportunity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wealth literacy as a step beyond basic financial literacy. A central distinction in the book is the difference between knowing how money works at a basic level and knowing how wealth is actually built. Nash frames financial literacy as useful but incomplete. Budgeting, credit awareness, and expense control can stabilize a household, but they do not automatically create ownership, investment income, or durable wealth. Wealth literacy, as presented in the book and related interviews, is more concerned with how capital grows, how assets produce income, and how people move from earning wages to owning appreciating or income-generating resources. This distinction matters because many personal finance books stop at individual discipline, while Nash pushes readers to think about leverage, investment strategy, and long-term accumulation. The book does not treat knowledge as an end in itself. Instead, it argues that information must be translated into decisions that change a reader's financial position. That makes wealth literacy a practical framework rather than a vocabulary lesson. It asks readers to evaluate whether their financial behavior is merely preventing loss or actively producing ownership, compounding, and future optionality. Secondly, the millionaire mindset is tied to values, not only ambition. Nash presents mindset as an important part of becoming wealthy. But the book does not reduce wealth building to positive thinking. The emphasis is on values that make disciplined financial action possible over time. A millionaire mindset, in this context, includes patience, willingness to learn, comfort with delayed gratification, and the ability to make decisions based on long-term outcomes rather than short-term social approval. This is important because people starting from the bottom often face both financial scarcity and cultural pressure to use money for immediate relief, status, or family obligations. Nash treats mindset as the internal structure that helps a reader resist those pressures without denying that they exist. The book connects values to behavior. What a person believes about money influences whether income is consumed, saved, invested, or used to build assets. This approach gives the mindset discussion a practical function. It is not presented as a substitute for income, access, or opportunity, but as the foundation that determines whether new resources are converted into wealth. The result is a values-based framework for making repeated money decisions under real constraints. Thirdly, millionaire money moves focus on converting limited resources into assets. The book's practical orientation is organized around what Nash calls millionaire money moves, a phrase used to describe strategic actions that move a person from survival finance toward wealth creation. The key idea is not that readers can become wealthy instantly, but that even limited resources can be redirected more effectively when choices are made with asset building in mind. This includes increasing earning capacity, controlling leakage from spending, and placing money into opportunities that can grow or produce income. The importance of this topic is that it bridges motivation and execution. Many readers understand that they should save or invest, but they may not see a sequence for turning modest income into a stronger financial base. Nash's framework encourages readers to identify moves that have compounding effects rather than one-time benefits. The phrase also signals that wealth building requires action, not only awareness. A money move is a decision with consequences, whether to consume, invest, build a business, acquire property, or develop skills that increase income. By focusing on moves, the book makes wealth creation more concrete and less dependent on vague aspiration. Fourthly, the book addresses wealth building within racial and structural inequality. One of the book's defining features is that it discusses wealth creation in the context of unequal access to capital, opportunity, and financial knowledge. Nash writes especially for African-American readers and communities of color, while also presenting the framework as useful for anyone. This positioning differentiates the book from many mainstream personal finance guides that assume readers begin from similar social and economic conditions. the title itself points to the uneven distribution of wealth and the perception that certain groups have historically had greater access to ownership, networks, credit, and intergenerational support. Nash does not appear to treat these barriers as excuses for inaction. Instead, he frames them as realities that make wealth literacy and strategic behavior more urgent. This balance is important. The book acknowledges structural disadvantage while still focusing on agency, education, and practical steps. Its contribution is not a purely academic analysis of the racial wealth gap, nor is it a simple self-help message that ignores history. It occupies a middle ground, encouraging readers to understand the system clearly enough to navigate it more effectively and build resources for future generations. Real estate and investment choices are presented as tools, not shortcuts. Nash's wealth-building discussion includes investing, with real estate appearing as one important part of his broader wealth equation. The significance of this emphasis is that real estate has long been associated with wealth creation through ownership, appreciation, rental income, and leverage. At the same time, responsible treatment of real estate requires acknowledging risk. Property investing can involve debt, maintenance costs, market cycles, tenant issues, concentration risk, and the need for sufficient reserves. The book's larger framework helps place real estate in context. It is not a guaranteed path or a substitute for financial discipline, but one possible tool for building assets and income. This matters because readers starting from limited resources may be attracted to investment opportunities that promise rapid wealth without explaining downside exposure. Nash's approach, as reflected in available descriptions and interviews, is more consistent with learning principles, assessing risk, and making informed choices. Investment is presented as a stage in wealth literacy. Once readers understand how assets work, they can evaluate whether a given investment fits their resources, time horizon, and risk tolerance. That makes the discussion practical rather than speculative. In conclusion, Why Should White Guys Have All the Wealth? Is best suited for readers who want a wealth-building book that combines practical finance with an explicit awareness of racial and economic inequality. It will be especially relevant to African-American readers, first-generation wealth builders, entrepreneurs, early investors, and people who feel that conventional personal finance advice does not fully address their starting point. The book's practical benefit lies in its movement from money awareness to wealth literacy. Readers are encouraged to think about ownership, income-producing assets, values, and strategic decisions rather than only budgeting or saving. But its intellectual benefit is the way it connects individual financial behavior to broader historical and social barriers without making those barriers the entire story. Compared with many personal finance books, it stands out because its message is not simply to spend less or invest more. Nash frames wealth building as a system involving mindset, values, money moves, and community-level implications. The book also differs from Get Rich Quick material by emphasizing old principles, sustainable income, and genuine wealth rather than short-term financial display. Readers looking for a highly technical investment manual may need supplemental resources, but those seeking a grounded roadmap for moving from limited means toward asset ownership will find its positioning distinctive and useful. But if you would like to support Cedric Nash, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.